dance. He is grooving it right now in that 90s looking suit that is 10 times too big with his white pants, white shorts.
Because his heart was 10 times too small.
He's still trying to dress like Tom Cruise from Interview with a Vampire.
Is he saying re-jump? That's like his directions to his backup dancers. Jump, now re-jump. Now re-jump. Just say jump again.
Well, he definitely had that 90s swag. He was pretty cool for a couple years.
Oh yeah, the guy rocked it. I don't think anybody does not or did not at one point remember Ice Ice Baby the rap.
Well, I think that the thing is, there's always been a Vanilla Ice. Sometimes he's called David Cassidy. Sometimes he's called Leif Garrett. Sometimes he's called Justin Bieber. There's always going to be one. In fact, for Justin Bieber's roast, I would have liked to see Vanilla Ice just go up there, point at himself, look at Bieber, and go, "Sue!" And then just walk off. And just leave him chilled. Just disturbed. Like, no, that's not... Just asking his yes men, like, that's not going to be me, is it? Oh, no.
Cut the show right now.
Cut the show. You're way better. You got way better moves. They're cool as ice. I didn't mean to say that.
Damn it! I did say that, though.
Wow. Well, guys, welcome to Pop Not Soda episode 18.
Lucky 18.
Yes. Thanks for joining us on your weekly sit pack of pop culture. We have a special guest tonight.
We do.
Someone that knows Brett intimately. not biblically, just intimately.
And that, well, the face just keeps getting worse. Yeah, keep going, Dan.
That would be a one Ryan Shores.
Hey, thanks for having me. That's not necessary.
Woo! Music. How convenient that the song just came out of thin
and
air.
If you recognize that, that's from Ryan's podcast, the Generic Podcast. That's
the Generic Podcast?
The Degenerate
Thanks.
Podcast. Let me enunciate a little better. That's also on Point and Yell, which, you know, we've been on for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
I just realized we kind of fucked up the sound working a little bit, and we introduced you before the music went on. Could you imagine if that happened in like a wrestling match or somebody? Like, somebody just comes out and then it's like 5 seconds later, they're like halfway down the ramp, like,
they're in mid suplex. Music hits, like, the fuck?
If you smell! He's been out for like 5 minutes already.
I'm sorry, the buttons, I didn't. I'm new here, I'm interning. Please don't tell Mr. McMahon. I'll get that.
I'm sure our 9 listeners are gonna.
They're going to be pissed at
they're
that
gonna
right
us.
Right there.
They're definitely going to write us.
Well, I just wonder.
Hey, man, I'm on a show. You might get up to 11. This
Double digits?
Yeah.
Are we talking double digits?
I brought my fan base with me.
No, but that's what we got right now. We have Ryan Shores, my former co-host, with me on the Degenerate Podcast. He's kicking ass right now on Point and Yell Productions. I think one of the highest rated podcasts on Point and Yell Productions.
That's right.
One of the highest rated podcasts in San Diego.
That's right.
Still keeping up with that trend. Good job, Ryan.
Thanks.
Yeah, so how's everything been, man, lately? You doing well?
I'm doing fine, thank you for asking.
What'd you do this last weekend? Anything interesting?
I did some shows in Lancaster with Joe Charles and Dave Wright, and yeah, that place is a shithole.
Lancaster, California?
No, Lancaster, Paris. Yeah, Lancaster, California.
Now, where exactly is Lancaster?
It is east of L.A., but when I say that, you think East L.A., and you think, ugh, that's a shithole. No, easter of that. East, more east.
Shitholier.
Yeah. what I like to do when I work the road, one trick you can do to get, like, some cheap applause, is you find out what a town is to shit on that they like to shit on. And then you shit on it, too, while you're on stage. So if I was playing San Diego, I'd be like, yeah, fuck Lakeside. I'd be like, ew, woo. If I play L.A., I'm like, fuck Riverside, woo. But in Lancaster, I went out there, I'm like, there's no shittier town around here. So I basically couldn't do my joke. I went out there, I'm like, I just named a city near it. I'm like, yeah, fuck that Palmdale place. The audience is confused. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Palmdale's way better than here. Look at Mr. Fancy, I've been to Palmdale. Ooh, fuck it, I dream of going to Palmdale. So that's their Disneyland. Like, yeah, maybe if I save up for 2 more years, take the kids to Palmdale.
We can take the exit off of Palmdale, have a nice fried chicken sandwich.
Go to that Sonic they got up there, dream big.
Ooh, it's going to be nice. Anything interesting happen on your way up to Lancaster? It sounds like an interesting town.
I had a rough start just leaving. First of all, I usually drive, but my girlfriend needed my car, so the Amtrak train was my sweet tour bus.
Ooh.
I had to take that to L.A. to meet up with one of the other comics, and I stashed a bottle of rum in my suitcase like I like
traditional Ryan Shores.
Then the suitcase handle broke off in my hand, and then the rum shattered.
Oh.
And I keep my merch in my bag. And so my bag is leaking rum. The handle's broken off. I've not left the train station. They literally, my girlfriend dropped me off the train station, like, good luck, asshole. And I'm like, bum, the suitcase just broke. Rum starts spilling out of it. And then, like, as like I'm trying to salvage what's left of the rum by pouring it into a Dr. Pepper bottle, which, by the way, I'm in the middle of the train station, so I've got to do this a bit covertly. You know, I can't just be like Nicolas Cage and leaving Las Vegas, and like, yeah! You're going to give me a cocktail mixed up with the Amtrak, sneak you onto the train in my belly. I had to, like, just kind of, like, put it next to my leg, and then the fucking Dr. Pepper exploded all over me. So now I'm covered in Dr. Pepper and rum. My suitcase is broken, and they're like, "All aboard!" I'm like, "God damn it!" So that was the kickoff.
And then what happened when you got up there? You have a good awesome. Show. You kick ass or what?
No, it was fine. It was
wait. Hold on. I gotta know. Did you save any rum?
I did. I saved about. It was a pint bottle. I saved about a fourth of it.
Oh,
so okay. That was a nice, cozy 10 minutes of drinking when I got on the train. Then I bought a $12 cheeseburger that they microwaved.
Oh, yeah.
And just said, do you want to eat something else? Do you see anything else? What else are you going to do? You want to jump off? We're going about 90.
Fuck off. I've seen your ticket. Yeah. You're on here for three more hours.
I'm on pins and needles until they announce that the food cart's out there.
Yes. Yeah, they even have better food back there, like, for the employees. They, like, wave it at you. They're, like, waving a flame in the eye, like, ooh, looks like you're not getting one of these for at least 3.5 more hours, Mr. Los Angeles. So, yeah, it was a great show other than the commute.
Cool, man. Successful?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Right on. And you got a lot more shows banked up too. We'll announce those later.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So some interesting stuff has happened, I think, in the last since the last recording.
I doubt it.
No, nothing happens in the world in a week.
Yeah, you know. But Dan, you want to take it away? We had a story pop up about one of your favorite organizations, I think.
One of my favorite organizations.
Definitely in the top three. Definitely
Top three. You know, I guess I do have a special place for the NAACP, if that's where we're going. Yes, I know that on a couple shows ago, we politely covered Caitlyn Jenner and her transition from a man to a woman. And we had another story of, I guess you could say, transition come up this week. But this one, a lot more peculiar and a lot more weird. It was Rachel, I have no idea how to say her last name.
Dolezal.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Because she's full of shit.
Which is very true. Who was the chairman of a local chapter of the NAACP up in the Pacific Northwest?
That is local.
Well, I meant like local. Damn it, Ryan. World. I don't know what it is about guests on this show, but they just target me every time. A Pacific Northwest chapter of the NCAAP. And
NAACP.
Fuck me. This is great.
Listen, you couldn't get a name right either. Just fuck the organization, too.
NAACP.
What have they ever done for you, man? Nothing, probably. No,
you know what? Not yet. And she was the head of that, and it came out last week that her parents wanted to announce that she was actually born white when she's been claiming for the better half of her life that she's been black.
Mm.
And then she defended herself by claiming that she's transracial.
Transracial.
Which is a new term.
That's blowing my mind. I've never heard.
Trailblazer.
It's less than a week old.
So, what is transracial by Rachel Dolezal?
If I'm not mistaken, she identifies black just the way Caitlyn Jenner identifies as a woman. Same type of thing. Right?
Exactly. Definitely trying to ride coattails.
Because, you know, if there's any winning team you want to join in the United States, that black community has all the privilege.
I thought you were going to say trannies.
Close, but you know. She did say that, you know, she, when growing up, when she would draw herself in pictures, she'd always want to use the brown crayon instead of the white crayon.
Mm-hmm. The white crayon sucked. You can't even,
it doesn't show up. Which I was like, that up. Made sense.
Why was always Easter eggs? Easter eggs are the only place you can use the white crayon.
And I'm pretty sure she's probably drawn stick figures. So it doesn't even really matter. But she has also, she has adopted black younger brother.
Who is actually black?
Yes.
Who is actually black?
Yes, someone's black in the story.
Someone is black. I think she has some children of a black father.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been scrutinized by the media over the past week because I think the difference between her and Caitlyn Jenner is she has come off very disingenuous and has not been able to give a straight answer about a lot of the questions. She was asked point blank if she was African American, and she said she didn't understand the question.
Right.
And that's never a
which is usually what I say when I come home at 2 a.m. My girlfriend goes, "Where you been?" I'm like, "I don't understand the question."
Yes. Not when you're giving an interview.
You mean like, you know, where have I been just spiritually, emotionally?
Ethnically?
Ethnically, I feel Cuban, if you want to know.
Yeah, she's just completely full of shit.
What?
I mean, she hired an actor to play her father. She hired a black actor to play her father.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. That came out. That came out.
I mean, I applaud her for like what she's done for the community, but I just don't understand why she ever thought this was okay to do.
Well, listen, any comparison to Caitlyn Jenner is kind of retarded because, and here's why. It's number one, as far as transgender identity crisis or gay, lesbian, think of it this way. You have a 50-50 chance of being a man or a woman, am I correct? And so it's reasonable to think that in the baby-making, incubating process during pregnancy, maybe something, I don't want to say goes wrong, but goes off. Maybe there is a chance, seeing as you have a chance of being either gender, that you can develop as a man physically, but a woman in your brain. Or same way as, you know what, you have a 50-50 shot of having one or two arms. You know, you could come out with one arm. That's just a possibility. Now, there's not a 50-50 chance that all of us could be black.
Vanilla Ice thought he was, though.
Sure. This does open up a lot of floodgates for some dudes that loved Run DMC in the 80s. Like, that's an option? I could just say...
What did I think of that?
That's brilliant. Me. So there's that. Number two, Caitlyn Jenner didn't use... she didn't lie for a long time saying, no, I'm just a woman, and then use it to gain position, gain any type of notoriety, or in some cases, play any type of victim.
Yeah.
She just said, I'm a woman now, I wasn't always, but moving forward, that's what we're doing. This person just said, I've always been black. I don't understand your questions. And, you know, she's a fibber.
I think you've got a great point, too, and that's where the smoke is up in the air, and that's where it's very, very offensive, is when somebody takes these steps to gain a position of power. Where it could be something completely different where they're doing it in their own house, whatever. I mean, it's offensive. You know, people are going to get offended or whatever. But when you seek a position of power and you have such a charade and such a costume to do this, It is the epitome of offense to a lot of people.
This is the furthest anyone's ever gone to be able to use the N-word. He really took it too far. Just say it alone with your friends like the rest of us. Don't, you don't have to pretend.
And I mean, like, what's crazy about it, too, is somebody like Robert Downey Jr. does this 5 years ago. Completely comedic. Right. And people get offended.
Tropic Thunder?
Yeah. In Tropic Thunder, people get... somewhat offended.
Not in real life.
Oh, yeah, somewhat offended, blah, blah, blah.
I had to open for the actual black guy in that movie, and he fucked me.
I've heard that story.
The booty juice. Booty sweat.
Booty sweat. He made me go. He was the headliner. He made me go after him in my hometown. Yeah.
But let's not forget what happened to Juliana Huff.
Fucked me.
What, a year ago? When you go and pretend to be a race, people are going to flip the fuck out when you're either charading as that race and making a joke about it, or, what's even, I think, more offensive, you're pretending to be that race.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of all understand blackface is bad, and that's why Robert Downey Jr. played that part as a total satirical actor who was like, yeah, you can't do everything you want just to get an Oscar because some things are over the line. And we've seen that with Halloween costumes and even college parties where they make it racially themed. It's not appreciated. It's looked down upon. It's offensive. And this just rides this line of a person who is doing this because she wants to gain her own personal...
It's selfish.
Like, the thing that sticks out most is the post they showed where it's her taking a selfie and it's, like, rocking the natural curls tonight. And that's bad because, you know, she purposely got her hair permed so it would look like a natural black woman's. But it's not natural at all.
She's
completely and, like, to fly all the way down to that part, it just seems like a huge con.
Honestly, I just think there are people out there that are pathological liars and make up histories for themselves that they can't quite deviate from. Look at the Stolen Valor guys. Look at all these people out there that, I mean, yes, some people get discounts at Starbucks for dressing up like a Marine, but the majority of these Stolen Valor guys that have never served but walk around in Navy officer uniforms, that's just them wanting to feel part of something. They're not really financially gaining anything. They're doing this because they're just fucking pathological liars with no real history of their own that they can connect to. And so they're just thinking, just fucking adapt this, and then they can't get rid of it. I know guys that have never even enlisted that have a license plate that says Navy SEAL. They're not gaining anything, but that they're so ingrained in their own bullshit that that's just who they are now. I painted me a past, and I'm going to live in it.
Yeah, and at what point, too...
Perfect for a politician.
Exactly. Like, and I guess at what point, too, do you live that fake history so much and convince yourself that that fake history is actually part of your existence, and then you can't actually do a 180 and look back because you're so blinded by your own ignorance?
That would be called being Brian Williams.
Oh, that's another... Hey, that's a great point.
That's a great point, too. Honestly,
I can't recall.
None of you guys, nor can I, can relate to this because... We are not people that that have this compulsion. We're not people that have ever felt the need to rewrite our own history to make it more romantic or make it more exciting. These people, it's more than just the fact that they want glory. They really just want to rewrite their past. And they have, I think at some point, they have trouble differentiating.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do think at some point you start believing it.
Yeah, that's and I completely understand the justification to do something like that if something traumatic has happened, or you know if something has happened where you need to completely like close the book on your life and start a new life or whatever. This girl lived the most privileged life that anyone can imagine, and then she goes and does this. It's laughable.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, it's sociopathic. I mean, I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So this begs the question, though, if you ignore this case, in the future, does transracial seem like a possible identity crisis for someone actually going through it? Can somebody born of one race feel that they connect stronger to a certain heritage, a certain race, and want to pursue becoming what that race looks like physically?
I would love to hear the explanation of from a white guy who has an identity crisis. What feeling black entails? Because I thought we were all the same. I thought we were just all humans on this starship Earth here. And I'd like to hear him like, well, I like rapid fried chicken. Like, what'd you say? No, I'm not really. You know, I'd like to hear him say it out loud. Get that shit
admit
out
to it.
Admit to it. You believe in stereotypes, don't you? A little bit. Yeah.
Well, I think you can embrace a culture and not just completely go that extra mile to make yourself look like traditionally what that race.
Montel Williams said this about the situation, which was there are as many white, Asian, and other than black races that are involved with the NAACP. There's leaders, in fact. The NAACP, rightfully so, would never turn away any race that would seek to advance their organization and race. Who would? You know, if you have
it's idiotic. Exactly, yeah.
You know, even the KKK has people who are like, well, they're black, but, you know, they hate their own kind, so they're welcome around here. So, you know, he very much said being a race doesn't have anything to do with it. Being a liar has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Yep.
So definitely. She could have been one of those white leaders. She chose lies. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
And maybe the NAACP should do a little
better screen.
Stricter background check.
A little more due diligence before they bring someone
really,
on.
The main stories that have made national news for them in the past year have been Rachel and Donald Sterling. So, just want to put them on notice. Maybe do a little more thorough background.
You know, it does shed light on something. We're all men of the white hue here. Have you ever been talking to some guy or some girl that they've been like, man, that's what it's like when you're black, man. I'm black. And you're like, I didn't realize that. Like, I'm looking at you. I thought you might be Cuban or maybe Armenian.
Or Italian.
Sicilian, maybe?
Yeah,
Sicilian?
Exactly.
I've got a friend who is Mexican, and he looks like he could pass his light skin. I think he looks more, if anything, Samoan. But when people are like, oh, I thought you were like at least like half black, he feels complimented. And that always kind of bugs me. Because there's... What? I mean, I don't know if that's like... I don't know how to fish. Why is that a compliment that you're like, yeah, man, they thought I was black?
Hey.
I think it's bullshit! Bullshit, I say!
Well, if I could have a 40-inch vertical, I
if
would
those
look any way you want me to.
Speaking yeah, of
if
40...
If I become, you know, 6'8" and 250 pounds and play basketball like LeBron James... Maybe I'd consider surgery.
Speaking of NAACP, I gotta pee real bad. I'll be right back.
So speaking of 40-inch verticals and LeBron James, I think we do have something.
He got robbed
because it's officially done as of yesterday. The finals are over. The Golden State Warriors clinched the title. Stephen Curry, thank you very, very, very much. From a
you should be thanking Andre Iguodala.
Oh, Iguodala, he
because
was.
You
a
should
stud.
Be, he did win the most valuable.
You should be
award.
Thanking Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and their fragile bodies.
Kyrie Irving has a friend's tattoo, by the way. I just discovered last week. Look
smelly
it up.
Cat? It's is it Smelly Cat?
It's crazy. It actually is the friend's logo on his. On his forearm.
That's hilarious.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Brett was motioning to his forearm as he was saying that.
Yes.
And it took me like 5 seconds to actually figure out what part of my
where
body this
is.
Was. So yeah. that's pathetic.
I am okay with the fact that Andre Iguodala won the MVP because he made a great impact when he was playing against LeBron. And if you say LeBron was the best player in the series and his stat line, his efficiency was impacted significantly by Andre Iguodala, that would make sense. But I think still LeBron averaged goddamn 36 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had 5 players on his team, Mike Miller, Deli, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, were 0 for 22 when he wasn't on the floor.
I think it begs the question, too, because I haven't really studied the MVP, you know, the trend of how they declare it or anything in the NBA, but does it beg the question that does part of the MVP actually have something to do with the outcome of the finals?
Yeah, of course it does.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you can kill it with stats. You can be 3 times better than the person in second place, but if it doesn't get you to the end result, how much does that actually weigh into the factoring of the MVP?
Can I throw another thing out there just out of curiosity? Whatever happened to when you were the best athlete in the world that made you a role model? Remember when we were kids? I'm Michael Jordan, and eat your vitamins, and wear Hanes underpants. I'm Nolan Ryan, and stay in school, kids. Now it's just like, I'm LeBron James, fuck y'all! I'm gonna fuck your mom, gonna fuck your sister!
That's Delonte West,
by the way. Well, now it's drink your Gatorade and eat your McDonald's, because these guys are paying me money. That's what it is these days.
Well, yeah, they have endorsements, but still, there's this arrogance and this shittiness. I'm Floyd Mayweather, I'm going to throw a $350,000 party and not tip. You know, it's just, it's become just, if you're the best, you're shitty about it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just remember when Michael Jordan was just like, you know, hey kids, remember to stay in school and drink milk. Mm-hmm. You know, it was nice. I don't care what they were doing in their free time. They could have been having orgies with hookers. Don't care.
I think Michael may have.
Sweet! He deserved it. The man is a champion.
But that's the thing is, I think it's the over media coverage that really impacts
that.
So it is the outcome. I mean, how much do you think that weighs, Brian, on the actual?
Oh, well, for the MVP, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it only happened once.
1969, Jerry West.
Jerry West, because he just fucking
loss.
Balled out of control.
But LeBron had better numbers this series.
Yeah, I mean, there's no argument that LeBron James was the best player on the court at all times. But at the end, his team didn't win. Exactly. So you got to give it to a player on the Warriors.
Looks like he wasn't good enough to win the game.
Yeah, he can't do it by himself. He already proved that when he was in Cleveland for the first half of his career. He just can't do it by himself.
It was just so laughable at how bad the rest of the Cleveland Cavaliers were. Other than Tristan Thompson and Timothy Mozgov, who had a good series, because the Warriors had nobody that tall that could play against them. Everybody else was missing wide open shots. That I know LeBron was wishing he had Ray Allen, wishing that he had somebody that could hit a jumper.
Well, he had two All-Stars that were out. That's like having Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala out. You know, it's
the backfire of the big three, because they're getting paid maybe not Matt's contracts, but nearly Matt's contracts. That you struggle to find depth, and that was always a problem in Miami. And now, I mean, they never had D-Wade and Bosch out in the playoffs. This is the first time LeBron had to go with what the bench had to offer. And we see that if you can't pay role players, you're going to be SOL.
Do you think anybody's going to get canned?
David Black should be fired right away.
Fired? It's his first season, and they went to the NBA Finals.
It's pretty good. Don't know shit about basketball. It sounds good.
Right?
Sounds like only one other dude did it. Probably not his first season.
Steve Kerr was also a rookie coach.
Still.
Which makes him, I didn't know this, but Pat Riley is the only other rookie coach to win an NBA Finals, but that's because he had Kareem and Magic and Showtime. I do think David Platt will probably get let go, because I think John Calipari may be contacted about coming to coach Cleveland, and that may be just... It's John Calipari off of, like, two national championships in the past few years. Maybe worth more. Or one national championship, I'm sorry.
Speaking of coaches getting fired, though, we had something local happen this week.
Yes.
In Spokane?
In Spokane, Washington. In the NAACP chapter of Spokane, Washington, also known as San Diego, California, we had Buddy Black, the San Diego Padres coach since 2007. He got canned. He got walked out.
Has it really been since 2007?
Yeah, since 2007.
9 years.
Haven't done shit since 2007, since he took over. And, you know, I was a little upset about this when I first heard about it, because I think he's a great players coach. I do. I think the budget that we spend on an organization to have the players that we have, he's a great coach for the younger players. He's a good coach for people that want to play baseball. To that end, though, he never produced a result. As a San Diego fan, I can appease myself for years in.
To what I saw, because I think, wasn't 2006 the last time we were in any type of playoffs?
I think so,
actually. Before we took over?
Yeah. 2007 was the playoff game, like the one game with
against
the Rockies.
And we lost.
Right.
Where they lost.
Yeah.
All I've seen him do is change the uniforms to be all retro a bunch. other coaches, like, I bet his assistant coaches were going ape shit, like, all right. Do you think we need maybe, you know, a new pitching program? Maybe a stronger offense as far as, you know, our batters? Maybe if we get one heavy hitter, he's like, let's make the hats camo. What the fuck are you talking about? Listen. All right. If one of the fucking Mets knocks it out of the park, I got a secret weapon. 1970s retro colors. Okay, listen. It's beautiful. We spent $100,000. We refurbish the team. We get them with some really retro, you know, throwback type uniforms. That's what's going to put asses in the seats.
And the sad part is, the Padres' previous manager, Bruce Bochy, goes on to San Francisco.
Wins World Series.
And has won 3 World Series championships with that team.
Yeah, but were they in current uniforms?
they take it back to 1981. San Francisco
could you
uniforms.
See them on the field in the camo?
But yeah, you just can't take the team that he has right now to 500, 60 games through the season.
No. What did him in was the fact that he kept pulling James Shields early in games, and the bullpen would give up the lead. And AJ Preller's the GM couldn't handle it, because if he makes a move to get a star pitcher who has been dominant, practically, I think, undefeated still this season.
Do you know that James,
you keep pulling him, it's ridiculous. So,
do you know that James Shields actually has the most completed games out of all pitchers, like, in the National League right now? He's above Kershaw.
Yeah. Kershaw's is moving up.
But he's moving up. I mean, it's insane to think that you would pull
most complete
a pitcher.
Games in like the last 5 years, something yeah. like that.
And he's been damn good. And I don't know if Bud Black was just used to the shit that he used to have. And that's why he's like, all right, it's the fifth inning, so our pitcher's probably giving up 11 runs. Time to pull him. And just wasn't paying attention to the current outcome of the game. But he did it twice against the Dodgers, where James Shields was pulled when they had a lead this season. And the Dodgers ended up coming back and beating the Padres in both those games.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't lose to the rivals. That's one thing about baseball. That does you in. Like, yeah. Usually in NFL, like, coach usually gets fired when you get blown out tremendously. But in baseball, you lose to the rivals, that's usually a death sentence.
I got a question for you, Ryan.
Ah.
If you took over the Padres as the coach
oh God.
Tomorrow, what would be the first thing that you would do?
Tito Ortiz, hear me out. UFC legend. Catcher. Who's trying to charge home plate with the Huntington Beach bad boy there wearing pads? Okay, that's number one. Number two, Dodger dogs. We steal the formula. They're Padre dogs now. Boom. They're legendary. Number three, new mascot. I don't know who this cranial-headed retard is dancing around in a dress, but he's not hyping up the troops, okay? We need something like Philly's got. Big green mutant. Big green mutants put asses in the seats. Have you not seen the X-Men? Enough said. Number three, fights. Hockey's got fights. Boxing's got fights. So does kickboxing.
Tito Ortiz can fight.
I've already covered that. We already got a guy. We got a guy. Now these umps, they don't call shit. I get them liquored up. You know, that's really for my benefit.
Is that number five?
No, five. The rest is secret. Then I go on TV with Aloha Taylor, and I tell her I got a secret plan. Really, I'm full of shit. I don't have anything up my sleeve. But you know what gets asses in the seats? Secret plans. Boom.
Secret plans and retro uniforms.
And Aloha Taylor. I'd sit down if Aloha Taylor.
Now the Colorado Rockies are scared of shit because they're like, did you see him on the news? He's got a secret plan. Maybe we should just phone this one in so we can be fresh for when we play the Yankees.
I wonder if it's going to be the camo jerseys again. Shit!
No more camo jerseys. I can't see people out there. It's green turf. It's green hats. It's confusing. The Oakland A's, same thing. Can't see the outfield. No. And by the way, that's it.
Well, you have my vote for manager of the Padres if you get rid of those hideous camo uniforms. So get rid of them.
They still use them. No one watches the Padres anymore. So I don't think there's any way to tell.
Well, it can't get any worse.
Can't get any worse. Cannot get any worse.
Well, it could get worse. It couldn't get any more mediocre.
Yeah.
It couldn't get any more mediocre. Yeah.
Stop changing the costumes. It's like a Lady Gaga concert.
Yeah, just fucking play baseball.
Yeah.
And win
don't
games.
Worry about if we're wearing the 1981 hats, please.
On that note, I think we should wrap it up for a break right now. We'll do some plugs, Ryan's show's coming up, and things like that. And we'll see you back on the flip side where we're talking about Ryan's movie reviews. We also have some E3 impressions. And
first of all, I don't have any movie reviews, and you fucked up my name.
No. Yes, Brian.
Oh, Brian.
Oh,
sir! Right here.
Oh,
his name is Brian.
Well, you know, you can see my confusion.
And then we also have Game of Thrones, the finale. I think everybody in the world saw that this weekend.
And I'll be taking a smoke break during that.
It's Brian's favorite show.
Yeah,
as we could tell.
We'll let him expand.
It has dragons. No. Brian?
He likes the show, and his name is Brian. You fucked up his name and what he likes to watch. What the fuck is with you people?
We run a tight ship here.
Hey guys, this is Ryan Shores, the guest for this week on Pop Not Soda. First of all, I want to thank Pop Not Soda for having me on. It's a fine program. Stay tuned, because there's a lot more witty banter in store for you. Maybe. I don't know. We've not recorded it yet. It might go downhill. But anyway, if you're interested in seeing me and my sexy voice here in San Diego, I got some shows coming up. Like June 29th at the Ken Club in Kensington. Or July 1st at the Madhouse. Or July 15th at the Wood in Pacific Beach.
or I could be back in town for you on, oh man, this little sheet I had with my shows written on, it's all scribbled. I'm opening for Bobby Slayton at some point. I think it's on July 26th at the Madhouse. He's good. Not as good as Brad Williams, who I'm opening for in Marietta on August 7th and 8th, two shows per night. Check your local listings for me, Ryan Shores. I'm a narcissist. I like to talk about me. Lots about it. Stay tuned. Oh, wait. That's right. Comment down. Also, you can hear me every week on iTunes and Podomatic and Stitcher on The Degenerate Podcast. That's The Degenerate Podcast. Just Google it.
It's actually one of the greatest theme songs in existence.
Oh.
And if you hear that saxophone, you know it's
time. Is it Siskel and Ebert or Ebert and Siskel?
Siskel and Ebert.
Anyway, they're dead.
Can't get it twisted. Rest in peace.
They'll be missed by immediate family members.
So, you know it's time for Brian's employed movie reviews. Put down that pizza with your pigs in a blanket crust.
What?
I know that you ordered it immediately when you saw it, just like me.
Is this pastry to match because Ryan's on the show this week?
It's just one of the most fat America products I have ever heard of. And it's just, it just puts me in complete disbelief that you can order a pizza with pigs in a blanket as its crust. That's the world we live in.
Syrup Dismond
sauce. Well, people all around the world can't find clean drinking water. God bless America. And God bless the movie I'm going to be talking about, Get Hard. Actually, God did not bless this movie because it is a huge pile of dog shit. This movie co-stars Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell. You know, two guys that I think are very funny. But they both just phoned this performance in.
Can you stop putting Kevin Hart in shit?
he's good in, like, tiny doses. Like, just a little taste.
He's like that friend that's like, man, you know what'd be fun to have over for drinking for a few hours? Timmy. You know who wouldn't be fun to take camping? Timmy.
Exactly.
That guy.
You don't want to sleep next to this guy without showering for multiple days and nights. And you don't want to watch this movie because it sucks.
What's bad about it?
So, it's just not good. The jokes are tired. The premise is like somewhat interesting. Will Ferrell plays this super rich dude. He gets framed for pulling off this Bernie Madoff pyramid type scheme, but he doesn't do it. So he gets sentenced to multiple years in jail. He has 30 days to get his affairs in order. He hires Kevin Hart, who works in his building, to train him to become prison ready, or hard in this particular turn of phrase. And yeah, it's such a waste of an R rating too, because all they did was like show a dick at one point and say fuck a lot. But that's about it.
And let me get this straight too. The happy ending is Will Ferrell going to jail being a gangster.
No, Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell does go to jail.
Ending they're
seeing.
Yeah, okay.
Will Ferrell does go to jail. Spoiler alert: he goes to prison for a short time and then comes out.
Oh fuck! I really wanted to see it. After that review, I had my Netflix app open right now. I was going to watch it on the way home while driving, because the first thing I want to do while watching this movie is die a horrible steaming death.
You should. After the first, 10 minutes, you're ready to just put yourself out of that.
Let me guess. Does Kevin Hart do any humor about he gets me every? You know, like, I'm black, but I'm not a thug because I'm really short. Is that premise go on a little bit?
You wouldn't be off making that assumption.
Oh man! People think I'm gangsta. I try to be gangsta. Psst, I'm not gangsta. That's the joke.
Isn't that the premise of Malibu's Most Wanted with Tay Diggs and Anthony Anderson?
It's also the premise of Ride Along.
It is as well.
And the Wedding Ringer.
He plays the guy pretending to be. So Kevin Hart's character has never been to prison, but he pretends because Will Ferrell is going to pay him a large sum of money because he thinks he survived prison and murdered a bunch of people.
I feel like Kevin Hart does just a lot of things he's not qualified for large sums of money.
Absolutely. And he illustrated that once again in this film.
Now, I heard that a lot of the jokes are pretty racial. That's a lot of the jokes that are made are around racial stereotypes. And that was like the one controversy that came out about this movie by like the three critics that saw it.
Wait, people give a shit about this movie? to have a controversy? Oh my god, that's amazing.
Going back to an earlier topic, here's what's great about the black community versus the white community. When the white community spits out a comedian that everyone loves and is the comedian of the hour, they put him in a few movies and they all flop. They're called Dane Cooks. They're like, yeah, he's funny on stage. Us white people have all agreed we like this flavor of the week. We're not going to like him in this movie, so we're not going to see it. The same thing happens with a black comedian with the black community. $90 million opening weekend. He's in it. Fuck it. Let's go see it. Big Mama's House. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
I know I got...
They're not even a comedian that's been relevant for the last 15 years. Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, well, he was big at the time. That didn't come out 15 years ago.
Oh, was
ago.
It? Okay.
It was
okay,
coming
okay.
off like Blue Streak and Bad Boys.
I'm saying that the black community is much more supportive than the white community.
I mean, they definitely are.
Tyler Perry
they are
still
loyal.
Gets to make movies.
Tyler Perry
that creatively
is...
bankrupt hack gets to still make money. That's ridiculous. The white community would never put up with it. You're out. If there was just a white guy in a fat suit in a grandma dress, we tried that. It's called Mrs. Doubtfire. Right? And we're like, well, one's good. One's fine. Thank you. Then no, thank you. No sequel.
But I actually heard that there are rumors that they may make either a remake or a sequel of Mrs. Doubtfire.
I heard Robin Williams is going to be really good in it, too. Hope he'll be missed in this sequel, especially.
So, Get Hard.
Yes, Get Hard. Not
Don't
a,
pressure me. Oh,
not a command or a
film. Find everyone into porn. You know,
you would find on
the director would shout that at me. I'd be like, excuse me. This is more of a private affair. I'm leaving.
And don't worry. They make countless dick jokes.
Shower jokes?
I would never get that from the title.
Never. You would never think about a movie entitled Get Hard that these comedic geniuses, whoever wrote this...
fine masterpiece.
Yeah. So, to wrap up, Get Hard gets 2 out of 5.
Wow.
Paychecks.
The lowest?
No.
I think that might be the lowest.
Ethan Hawke definitely starred in the lowest rated Brian's movie review.
He absolutely did.
Star, which I think was in Predestination.
Certainly was.
Yeah.
Because he played himself as his mother and his father. And he produced himself.
Why aren't people... Haven't the people spoken that were sick of that shit yet?
That's the plot of this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Brian's still dumbfounded to this day about that movie. I think I am too,
I'm
but I haven't,
I
haven't
had
even
to watch
dabbled
it.
In it.
I'm glad you watched it and reviewed it.
Two to five.
2 out of 5. It has, you know, one or two laugh out loud moments, but that's about it. Definitely don't waste your hard-earned money on the film. Maybe if it is on HBO someday.
Is it even worth a Redbox? Because I think that's kind of a gauge these days. I'll dick around with 99 cents. Wow, okay.
I would rent 1,000 other movies.
Wow, okay.
Redbox, you always say, is 99 cents. But for me, it's like $19. Because all of a sudden, I'll be like, oh, look at this piece of shit. You know what? I don't even know why I rented it. I use it as a coaster. And all of a sudden, 16 days later, I go, oh, holy fuck. Oh, my God. We still have this?
He's going to watch the movie twice.
Now you're in an argument with your girlfriend about who said to, who sent who to take it back.
Who the fuck?
And now you're getting a divorce because of Redbox.
Who the fuck rented Stephen King's Stand the TV miniseries, Disc 4?
Yeah.
What the fuck am I going to do
you
with that?
You didn't even get the whole series? By the way, Brett, can I mention an off-topic thing right here?
Yeah.
This is the apartment that I used to broadcast our show from. I never noticed this. How many fucking bottles of champagne do you have in your fucking fridge, man?
There's like,
are you T.I.? Are you Lil Wayne? Like, there's 18 bottles of champagne in that. I don't care if they're Corvette. How many special occasions are you anticipating?
Actually, after every episode we finish, we cover everything in plastic and just... Yeah, sounds
like
a gallery.
Like we won the championship, yeah. Like the Warriors.
We first Dexter the room, and then we champagne the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So it works out every once in a while.
Okay.
You know, we might send you with a parting gift, right?
I would love a parting gift. Yeah. I need something to keep me coming on the way home. while I'm watching
just,
Get Hard.
Just don't open it up while you're on the way home.
All right. You can't make any promises.
I can because he won't be there to enforce it.
This is the question I have. Is... Does the fault of this unsuccessful movie rest more on the shoulders of Kevin Hart or on Will Ferrell?
I would say on the...
just uncommonly the, low standard of movies.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. Just the producers of the film and the writers. Because they can't save shitty lines that they're given. You know, they could maybe try an improv, which they definitely didn't do in this film. But it's just the same corny dick jokes that we've been seeing for, you know, like the last 20 years.
We all love Scary Movie, but it set the bar so goddamn low back in the year 2000, where we all just go, okay, there's a dick, there's a black racial humor joke, and there's a white guy slipping on his own pee. Oh, there's some boobs, kinda, and that's your movie. And so we've all just accepted this mediocrity in movies.
Don't forget the weed reference. There's always the weed reference.
Oh, sorry.
Always the weed reference.
Absolutely. When did it happen that there was so much... I'm sorry, but maybe I'm speaking out of turn as a comedian. When did it happen where weed was just inherently funny? I see this so many fucking times in comedy clubs with a bunch of people go, oh, here comes your next comic for the evening, Hempy, and this, you know, either like a, you know, a fat white guy or a short Mexican guy or just a Rasta guy comes up with pot leaf on the t-shirt, just a ton of pot. Hey, man, when I smoke weed, I get the munchies. And you know, there's a million of these guys. There's a million of them. And you know what? Big laugh, too. Big laugh.
And they kill it.
They kill it.
Is Hempy playing in Oceanside?
Ocean Beach.
Ocean Beach. Oh, I'm sorry.
Where he'll remain for the tenure of his career.
He actually wasn't on the bill for the night. He just walked in, saw the mic, and went up and started talking.
He paid the security guard and weed, got on the bill slip, and then, it was history.
I mean, look at Doug Benson. The motherfucker has been making the same joke for 20 years, and people love him. Oh, man, this guy speaks to me because I smoke weed. Everyone smokes weed. It's not inherently funny. Okay, you smoke it, you mellow out, and that's the...
You know, on that Doug Benson note, not to go on a tangent or whatever, but you can tell that actually comedians are getting really, really worn out on that Doug Benson routine or whatever.
Too late. Should have been worn out on that shit 8 years ago.
Yeah, but we watch a show at midnight or whatever, and you can tell that these... talented comedians or whatever, whenever they have Doug Benson on, they are so sick and tired of his dumb pot jokes that just go nowhere.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting this stupid stoner crowd so fucking jolly, and these comedians are walking away with talent going, I'm never fucking touching this show again.
Well, it's just because he's legitimately high out of his mind all day long.
Yeah.
24 hours a day.
Any comedian that just has one premise they never let go of, I like John Panette, but... six CDs of fat jokes? Come on, man.
Gabriel Iglesias, same kind of thing.
Who likes Gabriel Iglesias?
Well, no, I'm not saying it like obviously.
This guy.
I don't.
Hey, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt right now. You can't see.
Here's 72 jokes to end like this. I'm Miho. Oh, yeah. He said Miho again in a high-pitched voice. Sexy.
Okay, I'm going to trade those CDs in right now.
Can't wait till he dies of a heart attack and I can pee on his grave.
I hate you guys.
Fuck him.
This dark-ass turn. How about we talk about some positive things like E3 that's
Ooh.
Going on?
Oh, yeah, I hope he gets HIV positive. Perfect. That'd be even better.
And
E3.
I tried to steal that shit.
And E3, that new shit. So, yeah, E3 happened this
year. You tried to steal the ship, I kicked the helmet out of your hand. We go spinning into a storm.
Damn it, Ryan. We're getting fluffy again.
Ryan
we're getting real
turns
fluffy.
To me, makes the overused I'm the captain now quote every time I try to interject.
you fucking Captain Phillips, this guy? It's fantastic.
We got pirates. We got pirates. So, yeah, E3 2015 happened. I think some important stuff happened. Microsoft did some announcements. Did you guys see the HoloLens thing? That thing was
yes,
pretty insane.
Yes, I did. That was pretty
Oculus
cool.
Rift and Minecraft was cool. I mean, I'll probably never use it, but...
Yeah.
I want cool. that Minority Report shit immediately. That's what I want.
Now, what would
Since
you...
Since I've seen that movie, that's all I've wanted.
Would you use it for ordering food? Would you use it for playing a game? What
yeah,
would you use
of course.
For? Everything.
You could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Just with your hands.
Oh, you gamers, I have something to say to you, three of you. I really had my hopes up with this E3 business when I see this magical technology coming out. I'm like, well, a pinball machine certainly shouldn't cost that much anymore, should it? I'm buying a house soon, Brett, and guess what I wanted? My garage lined with pinball machines and the fucking arcade Mortal Kombat and WrestleFest. I wanted
Ooh,
all those arcade games. Guess what they cost? $9,000!
They're so expensive!
And they're like, and you guys are like, well, I can get the most amazing technology for $90 at GameStop. I'm like, oh, well, then certainly this archaic caveman shit shouldn't cost it. No! More expensive! More expensive! I have nothing now. I didn't keep up with your shit. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what E3 is, and I can't have a pinball machine.
Well, on that note, Ryan...
No, talk about Minority Report.
You probably heard about Halo, right?
Probably more expensive too now. The original one Xbox thing.
So, that was a big announcement for Microsoft. Halo 5 was announced. I think that was huge.
Still trying to master one.
Yeah.
I've never lasted more than 6 seconds in multiplayer mode. Player one hit. Player one has died.
10 seconds.
Player one. Player one has died. Player one has entered the. Died. I've never ever. And then Mexican kids talking shit to me on their headsets. Hey man, you don't even belong in this level. So why does it even have to be mean?
And they're all 12 years old.
They're 12 years old!
Yeah, yeah.
But they're talking to me like grown men because they have an automatic weapon. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine. So
you're,
I think...
You're working through some things right now, aren't you?
Yes! I've been left in the dust! You guys are driving fancy Lexuses and I'm puttering around like the Flintstones car and it's more expensive!
You almost were worried about a jump around the corner from the house before you got here, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about!
So, yeah, Halo 5 was announced. Microsoft kind of dropped the mic, I think, a little bit. They had the HoloLens come out, which was pretty incredible. They did a Minecraft demonstration, which if anybody's seen it, if you haven't seen it, check it out. If anybody's seen it, I don't think anybody's not just utterly impressed by this thing. I just hope the practicality of this in the regards to actual games that I want to play is applicational. Because I think right now they're showing so many games that really, I don't give a shit about. I mean, I think they're...
I mean, Minecraft is good for, like, 10-year-olds who want to build stuff. Yeah.
You know, and I guess I might be the part of the older generation. I mean, a majority of the older generation is covering these games, though, and doing these things. So, I don't think the older generation has much of an appeal to Minecraft either, though.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it just comes down to the exclusive titles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for Microsoft, you get Halo, you get the new Tomb Raider... You know, maybe not exclusively, but at least for a time being. And on PlayStation 4, you get No Man's Sky. You get The Last Guardian. You get Uncharted. And, you know, the Hollow Eye is cool. It looks really fun and new and just futuristic. But it's not going to make me... lean towards Microsoft more than PlayStation because I want to just sit down on my couch and play a game for the most part.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get and stay with the console that I think has the better catalog of games coming out.
And let's not forget the historical trend that Microsoft has with their peripherals. they fucking suck. I mean, I mean that's the end of the day. They fucking suck. The Kinect sucks. The Kinect for the Xbox One sucks. I mean, I don't think they've ever launched a peripheral that actually works properly, so...
Shut your mouth. You ever played a Virtual Boy? Shit was genius. Yeah. It may have given me a seizure, and I only could see the color green when I took it off.
Red and black.
Red and black, and then, you know, interesting fact, when you take off red and black for 4 hours, you see green. Yeah. Lots of it.
Christmas colors.
Oh, God. I did think what was cool, what the Xbox announced, was the customizable controller, even though that's actually fucking expensive. Being half the price of a system, but also the fact that they announced modding capabilities for Fallout.
That was a big thing.
Which
that's pretty cool.
They kind of just leaned into the skit, I think, there where they're like, "It's gonna happen," and if we let people be like, "Yeah, we support you with it," they're just gonna get more support. And I don't think that was their idea. They just kind of were like, "Fuck it, we have to accept it."
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing to cater to a lot of fans that are seeking things. I mean, look at GTA 5. How many mods have blown up on GTA 5 online that are just utterly insane that keep people wanting to play that game? The one problem, though,
What's a mod?
A mod is basically it's somebody peeling into the code of a game, working around, tweaking it a little bit so that it produces a different element.
Sounds like something I could really sink my teeth into.
Yeah.
It basically just lets you do whatever the fuck you want. So like, you want to...
It's a cheat code.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember the Game Genie back in the day?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so the Game Genie was basically the first mod that it did. It got into the code of the cartridge and basically said, okay, instead of limited lives, we're going to code it and we're going to give it infinite lives. So, I mean, it would get into the code and actually change it.
Are you trying to say unlimited and infinite at the same time?
It was so difficult right there. Thanks for catching that. I'm simming it. But that's my concern, though, is like with this PC modding and the whole appeal of PC modding, how are they going to regulate it? Because it's still a console that appeals to multiple ages of people. You can't have people just throwing naked lady mods on these things. So how... But Xbox isn't going to support it. I highly doubt that Xbox is going to support it. So what kind of security or control measures are they putting in place to control that element of these PC games? Because I think that is a very... small sector of the mods that actually exist in people.
Well, that game is rated mature already.
That's true. So how they'll get around it.
Yeah.
That's how they'll get around it, possibly.
That's how they allow all the GTA 5 mods.
Yeah.
Is because you have to be 17 to buy the game, so you can see anything that they're going to put in there.
Or you just have to show up with a permission slip, like, from second grade that you forged yourself into GameStop and go, like, hey, my mom signed this. Can you give me
GTA 5? You know what's fantastic is that I remember that there was a rumor when Mortal Kombat came out in 93. There was a naked code. You could see that Sonya Blade character naked. And that's all you thought about because there was no internet and free porn. Now we have all that shit. I could see any sexual scenario I could ever dream of right now. I'll just think of something. I'll type it into Google Video and then hashtag it with porn and I get to watch it. And guess what? People are still like, I want to see him in video games. I still want to see him in GTA.
It's the weirdest thing.
It's a weird thing.
No,
it's just a different kind of bug.
I'm going to spend 6 months getting a naked code.
Yeah, I mean, look at why Tomb Raider still continues to come out. Shit like that. I mean, after...
There's still Tomb Raiders.
Yeah, yeah. Woo! I mean, after a trek of about 6 or 7 very, very shitty games, they finally made a good one or whatever. People are finally finding the appeal on that. But for the longest time, all people wanted to see was Lara Croft naked in, like, a fucking PlayStation 1 mod. It's insane or whatever. On PlayStation's note, though, Sony did something, too. Sony did, like, kind of flipped the script on E3 this year, and I think... took a different approach with this, where they're saying, hey, we don't have a lot of titles that we're going to be coming out with, but a lot of the shit that you've been banking on in the last 5 years, 10 years of us actually announcing, we're dropping the mic and we're having it all come out in 1 year. And I mean, I think that was a big thing. They announced The Last Guardian that they've pretty much steered around for 2 years. They announced it for probably 5 years straight out before that. That's coming out. Looked incredible. I mean,
yeah.
Brian, your favorite game, I think, is Shadow of the Colossus, so...
Yeah, it's a game that probably a lot of people haven't played, but definitely one of my favorites. It is just really epic and a lot of fun, and then this is not necessarily the sequel, but just the next game that these guys that developed this one and Eco before that have come out with. It's been long anticipated. It looks awesome. To me, what I came out of E3 with was just a huge excitement for Star Wars Battlefront, because they released a ton of footage, and as a Star Wars geek, it just looks so awesome and so much fun, and I can't wait.
It's going to be incredible.
To play as Luke Skywalker and fight Darth Vader.
It doesn't matter. All those games don't matter.
Dan has
because to. Of goddamn Final Fantasy VII finally being remastered.
Woo!
It is the best video game that's ever been made, and I will take on
Final
all
Fantasy
comers.
VII?
Final yeah. Fantasy VII.
I bought that one when I was 12.
Yes, and that's why, finally, it was the two
it's,
discs.
It's awesome.
And I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm very glad that after probably almost 20 years, they finally have decided, we can make billions of dollars on this, so let's do it, and let's remake it. So, I wouldn't mind if they remade or remastered a lot of the games from when I grew up.
No.
Because I still buy them. I don't know if you can remaster.
You need to get me a machine. They're too expensive.
What at this,
I don't after, play the old one.
After this episode, please check GoFundMe for Ryan's pinball.
So much find him in the round table pizza. Playing the Terminator pinball game.
Sunset Riders and Terminator pinball.
So unfair.
Indiana Jones too, though. I'm giving you credit for the Indiana Jones. Oh.
The Indiana Jones, you couldn't really pull it. You had to shoot the gay ass gun.
Yeah.
No.
And it
no.
had the whip, the whiplashing sound when you shot the ball off too.
Yeah. I'm a Twilight Zone guy.
Oh, the Twilight Zone is a good
Twilight
one.
Twilight Zone was an incredible. Yeah, you could hit it.
And Invaders from Mars.
Ooh.
Back to the Future was
Back to the Future was a great one.
Adam's Family was also up there.
Oh, Adam's Family
is a close second.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they should just do an E3 of pinball machines, new pinball machines, so people get.
And I can come out in a black turtleneck and like little John Lennon glasses, like, my people, I know that you thought this shit was history, but these are still $6,000 a pop. Let's just keep selling them. Why not? They're paying $90 for the best Batman game that's ever existed. $6,000! And they'll pay it! You know what I sold an original Michelangelo Ninja Turtle doll for and then the packaging? $400. Just go back to the old shit. Nostalgia. Get out of my house.
And I think that that's what PlayStation and Sony did this time.
You know, they, my multi-purpose room.
They completely catered to nostalgia. They're throwing out everything that everybody's been waiting for, and I think it's a great thing to see. One company that didn't show up this year that absolutely sucked, Nintendo. And I'd hate to say it, they didn't come with shit. They came with the Mario Creator. Who gives a fuck about that? You have so many sandbox platform creators this day and age. Who gives a fuck about putting Mario in it? You can put Mario in any game you want to play. The one thing I was pissed about with Nintendo is the reason I bought this Wii U, the one game that they haven't showed is Zelda. And and I think that they're banking on Zelda coming out on the new system now, which even pisses me off more. So that thing is basically going to be the dinosaur that I keep. I'm pointing at my
Wii
U. That's
your new Virtual Boy.
Yeah, that's
your
my
Virtual Boy.
That is my new Virtual Boy.
There's six games. One of them's Mario Tennis.
Yeah. I'm going to be basically able to sell that to somebody and kind of sell it like this, like, hey, do you remember when Nintendo kind of almost went, like, completely bankrupt and didn't know what the fuck they were doing? Yeah, here's the system that did it.
You want to buy it? That was a result of that.
Yeah, you want to buy it? Yeah, I mean, so.
Why does Nintendo keep feeling they have to put Mario in everything? I get it. It was a great game.
It's the only thing that sells
80s.
For them.
Here's the thing.
It's the only thing that they have.
I just mentioned Mario Tennis. Brett, let's do a bit here, you and me.
Mario Tennis.
Okay. You be a guy pitching me video games about airplanes, about shoot 'em up, and I'm going to be the Nintendo executive. You go. Pitch
okay,
me
Ryan.
Idea.
So we have this great game right now. It's a 1942 flight simulator game.
Oh, shit.
Where you're actually flying over Nazi-occupied Germany.
What?
And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be flying these B-52 planes, bombers, and you're going to be going through a bunch of...
Let me stop you right there. Mario's flying it, okay? And guess what Nazi Germany is? Wario Germany, okay? So listen, just same game,
Mario's flying the plane. Wario is Hitler. Now, okay. Give me another one.
So
give
we have this
one.
Game. Okay, basically you are a jet ski guy. Okay. And you're going to be jet skiing.
Yoshi.
Okay, so we have this first-person shooter where what you're doing is you're acting like you're in
Princess
the back...
Peach. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we put her... She's holding the gun. Same game, Princess Peach. Continue! Okay.
So we have this platformer where what you're going to be doing is you're going to be jumping over a desert stage.
I don't give a fuck. You put Mario in it. That is okay. How that fucking meeting works at Nintendo.
Yeah, basically. Basically.
Oh. Well, you'll never have to sit in on a Nintendo boardroom meeting. We just witnessed it.
Yeah, that is what officially happens inside. We gave you an insider's exclusive.
And even that,
too.
He has like cardboard cutouts of Mario at the seats. He's just
by himself.
Yeah, and he just goes,
Johnson, what do you have for me this week? Mario's in everything.
He's shooting airsoft guns.
Well, how about we consult Mario for this? Yeah. Doesn't look too impressed, Johnson. How about you put him in the fucking game then?
Yeah. What do you got for us, Toad? You piece of shit.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Third mention character.
So
God.
We will Dan is utterly astounded right now.
It's so sad because I feel like that's exactly how those meetings go.
Yeah, that is how Nintendo runs shop these days. When you see them capitalizing.
Mario didn't need to be in tennis.
Yeah.
Just be called tennis. People would be fine with it.
I feel like even if you pitch them a Game of Thrones style.
Oh, we knew who Peter Dinklage is going to be.
Bowser, of course. Characters are everybody.
On that note, though, that was something that happened this weekend, and we'll wrap it up with that. We'll wrap this episode with that. The Game of Thrones season finale happened.
Like we had more shit.
We kind of did. We're getting to a meaty episode. Though, all right. So yeah. All right. So, but the Game of Thrones season finale happened.
It certainly did.
Gents, your impression? Ryan, your impressions on the thing?
Of Game of Thrones?
Yes.
You've known me for 6 years. You know for a fact that I don't watch that show. Why do we have to rap on this?
Because it's a big deal.
Okay, so here's my impression. I bet there's a big cliffhanger. Someone got naked, someone got beheaded, and then there was a midget.
That's pretty close.
Oh my god.
Someone did get very naked for a long period of time.
Was it a horse?
Apparently used the body double.
You should
really?
Write. You know, yeah. So that's a big thing is actually. So I think everybody was banking on Cersei getting naked. Any guy that watches that show has been waiting for Cersei to get naked. She's the blonde princess.
Queen.
Sorry. Kind of bitchy queen.
And soon to be head of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington. Local chapter. Personal friend.
But, yeah, so that just came out the other day is she wasn't naked. I guess it was a body double.
What else happened? I'm curious.
Yeah.
At least for the walk. It looks like Reddit has proven it's a body double.
Yeah.
I like how there's people that dedicated. Like, look at that horse cheek.
Right. Those aren't her titties.
Those color
Let's fact check
match
this.
Up.
Well, I think the biggest thing that happened in the show was at
wasn't
the very
Peter
end.
Dinklage.
It was
and
the
it
finale.
Was, it was not Peter Dinklage.
Final scene.
The final scene where Jon Snow, one of the main characters and a lot of fan favorites, was stabbed multiple times in the chest.
Jon Snow, what's the actor's name?
Kit Harington.
Kit Harington.
And soon to be coach of the San Diego Padres.
If he brings his leadership style of the Night's Watch
you
to the San Diego
camo
Padres.
You think those for something. Wait till they're all wearing night gear. Wait till they're all wearing chain link helmets.
Because they're charging every pitch and stabbing dudes in the throat.
I could actually go for the San Diego Crows.
You say that, Watch and then me. I just picture Brandon Lee from The Crow. That's what I imagine.
Oh, that's sick. That's sick.
Picture a dead
emo
guy?
The character. Damn
he
it.
Was dead.
Not in all of the movie. Anyway, speaking of who may or may not be dead, Jon Snow.
Yes, Jon Snow. Lots of theories going around. People don't want to believe that he's dead. In the books, there are different theories, but...
there's books.
the books are written years ago. Aww. So that's what's so funny about this, is that the last book was written in, like, 2011. So this shit has happened. People know about it. People have talked about it. And then the TV show comes around 5 years later, 4 years later.
Nintendo says, let's make a video game, but where can we put Mario in it?
I feel like...
As the White Walker.
What kind of mobile will they have?
I feel like Yoshi's definitely Jon Snow, by the way. If they
Yoshi's were. John Stamos.
He's drunk? Just and driving in L.A.?
Yeah, well, no, people are driving him. He's no like taking his tongue out in jail.
Oh, yeah, with no belly button. Oh, that's gross.
Yes, Game of Thrones, what a shocking finale. Lots. I honestly can't believe they fit so many different storylines into one episode.
Me neither.
I thought it was really good. And, yeah. Jon Snow.
Do you think Jon Snow is actually dead?
I think he is.
This is my theory, is that the character that goes by the name Jon Snow, and that's why they've said, oh yeah, Jon Snow's dead, Kit Harington, Harrington's not coming back as Jon Snow, like, Jon Snow's gone. He will come back with a different name, and that's what it's going to be, because you're going to find out what his true identity is finally, which they set up in the very first episode.
The biggest death rattle of any series is when a character comes back from the dead for any reason. Whether it's a twin brother, whether it's a big misunderstanding, whether it's a dream, that's called jumping the shark, which Mario will do on Yoshi. And anytime a show is like, oh, but I'm his twin brother, people will be like, ah, for fuck's sake. And then that's it. Now you can't trust that show anymore. Now when someone died, notice how Breaking Bad all of a sudden didn't have the next episode after his brother-in-law got shot in the head. He's like, but don't worry, I was wearing a bulletproof skull. People are like, oh, well then, I don't care about your cliffhangers anymore. Because when someone dies, like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not, because you just make up all the fucking rules. So, no, death is important.
Yeah.
It's a bad mistake if they bring anyone back in any show.
This show's a little different because they kill people...
All the time.
Yeah.
Good.
And what's, I think, one more thing, too, about it, too, is that, like, it has to, I don't think they've determined it yet, but does a white, do you have to get killed by a White Walker to be raised from the dead?
No, you just come back if you die.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's just somebody that can raise the dead.
They've got to burn the body, which if they burn the body,
the head will die.
And he's actually, not a Snow or a Stark or... a Baratheon, but he's
a Targaryen that can withstand fire.
Walk out of the fire.
This is crazy.
Yes. So that is a theory. There's also that blood witch that may raise him back. That's also another theory.
Melisandre.
Yes.
Because she showed up with a fine ass.
Yeah.
And she ain't using no body double.
I watch reruns of Frasier.
That dog's the best actor on TV.
But I did think... for the series, this was a good note to leave off on. Because even though they've been pretty embattled with choices they've made that have deviated from the book, like Sansa's rape scene, which was totally unnecessary, this is like their highest rated season yet, which is, after five seasons on HBO, is, I think, pretty good.
They finally had some goddamn dragons, that's why.
Yes.
Yeah.
The dragons.
And the zombies. Dragons and zombies.
Dragons and zombies and naked girls, that's kind of how you get ratings.
Yeah.
You should try and incorporate that, your show. Dragons.
That's the winning
some
formula.
Some zombies and naked women.
Dragons, zombies.
Ryan. And sound possible?
No.
Full frontal.
Ryan's spinning the gears right now. He's trying to think of how to do it. I'm like,
oh, believe me, I've explored this. I've also tried to dress up as Mario and come on stage. It's not well received. And I also got a pretty sternly worded cease and desist from those bastards at Nintendo. But other than that, yeah.
Was Mario on the letterhead from Nintendo?
No, Wario was because they were mad.
He's definitely their lawyer.
If they were saying, thank you for all you've done for our company, that gets you Mario. Otherwise, Wario. And if they're calling you a homo, you get Princess Peach. Yeah, what, bitch? What are you going to do? You're going to hire someone as good as us? Ah! Princess Peach, wear a dress. Yes!
Oh. Kid Koopa, buddy.
That is.
Kid
Coinage.
Wow.
Well, on that note.
Is he Koopa or is he Bowser? No, do
I think he was. I think he's changed titles over the years.
He's like Prince.
He keeps changing his fucking name.
He can do whatever he wants. He's a giant mutant dinosaur lizard turtle.
I ripped
thing.
This off from Ninja Turtles anyway.
Hey,
it's
and
basically
on,
Jurassic World.
Yeah, so. And on that note, giant mutant dinosaurs, we will be talking about that next week.
Yes, Jurassic World,
for the next
we will
episode.
Be talking about.
Well,
yeah.
No guests next week, so.
Well, we're going to Ryan Shores' roast next week, actually. It's June 24th at the Navajo Inn.
Joe 24th is in the fucking
Yeah, Joe 24th. And Imugination or Muganation or whatever I was trying to say the other time
June 24th.
Is not a word either. But June 24th, Ryan Shores, you got to roast.
I'm going to be roasted.
It's at Navajo Inn.
The Navajo Live Bar in La Mesa, yes.
And what time?
A stunning venue for my honorary night. And guess what? You know, some big names are going to be there. Oh, wait, no, they're not.
You've never heard of any of the names.
No one that's going to be there is anyone you care about, including me.
But Pop Not Soda is going to be there. We're going to be supporting you guys.
Thank you.
And how much are tickets? What time does it show up? I mean, what time
Zero cost.
Zero cost. All right.
Just show up.
Just show up. And what time does it start?
It starts at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, okay.
Yes.
You got some good comedians on the slip, though.
Yes. We have my old touring partner, Brian Bartels, coming out of retirement to do this. He's been he walked away from comedy 2 years ago. He's coming back just to roast me. Michael Castleberry, John Allen from Dragon Ball Z.
Yep.
Let's see who else. You haven't heard of him.
Yeah, you got a good list, though. I mean, legitimately, you got a good list. I couldn't get these guys.
The star power is a guy who was a voice in a shitty Japanese cartoon 9 years ago for one episode. That's the star power.
Did he do the over 9,000?
But that's
line?
The top of his resume, right? Dragon Ball Z.
Over 9,000.
Top. That's his resume. It's just a big Z, and you flip it
Ball.
Over, and it says Dragon Ball. Yeah, he'll weave it into the conversation if you meet him. Believe me.
So again, after that, I know we've sold you. On the roast of Ryan Shores, and that's Wednesday, June 24th at 8 p.m.
You're going to have a bit on it, too, though, right away. Bite, right?
A bit?
Yeah. You're going to be able to speak and do some comedy
well,
on the show,
Well,
right?
As the roast guest of honor, you get the last word.
Okay.
So I get
okay.
to fuck with everybody that tried to talk back.
So I think people going to see your comedy, too, can see some of it, too.
They're not going to see my normal act. They're going to see a once-in-a-lifetime performance from every comic there. That's specifically to be mean.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's going to be there. She won't have sex with me after this.
That's the meanest of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the roast right there.
That's the actual roast.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me,
yeah,
guys.
Man, this was an awesome episode.
I appreciate letting me chime in and fuck up your whole thing. I know I threw a wrench in your whole program most of the time I was here. I still appreciate it.
Ryan, you brought a good, lively conversation, and we appreciate it, man. We're looking forward to having you on again.
Looking forward to coming back.
Cool. And, yeah, looking forward to your shows coming up. For everybody, Dan, you want to take it away? You're good at this. I can't really do this.
Thanks, Brett.
Yeah.
Again, we've been Pop Not Soda, your weekly six-pack of pop culture. If you would like to have some more in between shows, please follow us on Twitter at pop_notsoda. You can follow me at Dan_Perez_ or Brett at Nieces Pieces. Brian no longer is at Vagina Busters, so you may want to defollow that account. And Ryan, you're on Twitter as well, right?
At Ryan Shores 138.
At Ryan Shores 138.
Yep.
So please make sure to follow Ryan to get all the updates for the Degenerate Podcast.
The Degenerate Podcast, yes.
And his comedy tour and updates for where his shows are and when they are. Again, we appreciate you tuning in, and we will see you next week.